Welcome to the Bike Life Podcast by Warm Showers Foundation, where we will be sharing knowledge, experience, tools, and stories of touring cyclists and hosts from around the world. I'm Tauber Lee, the woman behind the scenes at Warm Showers Foundation, the leading platform for cyclists looking for hosts and to connect with a passionate international community. Find out more by visiting us at warmshowers.org. Now, on to the show. Today we have Lorena and Gregor, who have been on tour for 4 months after moving their belongings to storage and packing up their two children, aged 2 and 6 years old, and setting off from southern Germany, and are currently coming to us from the east coast of Sardinia. Lorena and Gregor, thank you for making time for us along your path.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Thanks for having us.
And for those watching on YouTube, you have the most spectacular backdrop. It's like the sun has just set. It looks like a picture. It actually doesn't even look real.
Yes. It is real.
It's not Zoom picture. It's real, yes.
it's not the Zoom background. Yes. It's the real background. Yeah. I love it. And thanks again for making time for us, because this, I really want to talk about your story and what you're doing with your family, because it's so spectacular that you've taken your children and you've put your life aside to actually live the adventure with your children. And so I'm curious, is this your first family cycle tour?
Well, it's definitely the first big one. We've done smaller ones, so we started doing cycle tours when our first daughter was just little, because she didn't like cars at all. And we've always been fond of cycling. So that's when we started with her. And we really enjoyed that kind of trip or that kind of vacation. And we've continued doing it on a regular basis, I think once a year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we loved the way, the slow travel way.
Yes. And being outdoors, sleeping in a tent. But it's the first big one.
And so what led to this one? Well, first, let's go back a little bit. When you planned this tour, did you originally start with the idea of packing up all your belongings and like setting off? Or did it kind of transform into that as you were planning?
There are many aspects to it, actually, because I guess it more transformed to this idea, because we were living in a community for 1.5 years. So we moved from a house close to Heidelberg, where we kind of led a normal life, you could say. We moved to a community to start a community with 4 other families. And because we had this vision of a world where we can, you know, where we can contribute to a more peaceful world, where people, are more peaceful to each other, or where humans meet each other with an open heart and on equal terms with children, and where we all have respect and appreciation for all livings, all human and animals and so on, mm-hmm. all living beings. That was the vision that we moved into the community. And it was a project. And at one point, after a year and a half, we realized it's been really great and a lot of experience. We made a lot of experience and we still want to live this communal life. But at this point of time, we realized for us, we want to be more more connected again to nature, more connected as a family. We want to have more time with each other. The kids are so small and time just flew by. And that was the time we said, okay, it's now or never. We've always wanted to, we always enjoyed traveling. And
we had as well some issues in the house. I mean, the room we lived in was really small. So before we came into the community, we already knew that's only maybe for 1 or 2 years at maximum because of this small room. And to be in the house, it took us a lot of energy. And I mean, 4 families, every family with one room was quite
intense.
So mm-hmm. at 1.5 years, we knew we had to change something, and all the energy came into the house and all the...
We gave seminars and stuff like that. So that was a lot of work to do. Yes. And then we had less time for us and less time for us as a family. And that's when we said, okay, now we need to change something. Mm-hmm. And
but we knew that we don't want to go back into the house where we came from. So the little family life, yes. So we knew we want to change something. So we start thinking, what does the heart say? And yes.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And that's why I asked this question, because I know that there's this like understory that brought you to here. I mean, I feel like it's more likely that you learned so much along the way in your journey, right? When you were community living, you learned certain parts of intentional living, which I totally understand, intentional living in community and your own community, right? First, you both together and your children, and also being housebound when you like to travel is different, right? So you were stepping into wanting to do more traveling with your children. And so like, what was it like to start planning this adventure? By the way, and did you plan to be gone this long, or did you set a timeline, or did you just start with, we're going to go and see where it takes us?
Yeah, the last thing. We just said, we're going to pack all stuff. We don't want to have a certain time limit, or we don't want to have, a rent that we still need to pay or anything. So we sold some things. We put some things in the shed so that we can be free. You know, that was really important for us, the aspect of being free, of, really being able to feel into that adventure and being able to decide from one point to another and see how we all like it. I mean, it's a try. We didn't know how our kids gonna go with it and stuff like that. So we thought, okay, we want to be free, but we want to be really free. So that's why we said, okay, we're gonna have as less things that keep us back as possible. And there wasn't that much planning, actually, because I think it was May when we decided we're going to do it. And then we knew, okay, we need to be on the bicycle as soon as possible, because we need to have the summer and we need to have some time before winter's coming to be further south. So, we only had, I think, 5 or 6 weeks until we moved out, actually.
Yeah, it was a tense time, definitely.
I can only imagine 5 to 6 weeks. Bye-bye house, bye-bye stuff.
Yes.
Welcoming the open road. Wow. Tell me, like, what was it like initially with having a 2- and a 6-year-old on the journey? Like, what was that like at the beginning?
Well, at the beginning, our 6-year-old was really hyped. Because she was like, sleeping in the tent, and it was adventurous for her. And she, of course, she knew what was coming. I mean, she's older, of course. So she already, the abstract idea of going living on the road, and she could grasp it a little bit. And the 2-year-old, I think the first 3 weeks at least, she asked every day, okay, and when are we going back? And, where are we going today? Because she couldn't grasp it. And
she missed her playing buddies.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, she missed her playing buddies. Yeah.
Still misses them.
Yeah. But she's totally.
And obviously that's changed a lot that you're 4 months in. Yes. It's changed a lot now. So what is it like for them when they wake up in the morning? Like, what, I'm sure energetically they have just totally realigned to being free as well. And I'm curious to, like, how does a 2-year-old process being free?
That's a good question. I mean, it's just natural for her. And I mean, that's one aspect that we love the most. The naturality about everything, we get up when the sun rises, and we can get up with our children when they wake up, and we know we don't need to rush anywhere. We don't have any like strict appointments to bring them into kindergarten and whatever. We can work around all of our needs and see what everyone needs, just because it's a natural flow, you could say. Mm-hmm. And she just enjoys being outdoor and, having nature as her playground and seeing new things and being on her little running bike.
Yeah. So that leads me to the next question. So, Gregor, tell us a little bit about the setup. How are you traveling with a 2- and a 6-year-old?
About our setup, I mean, we have 2 trailers. We started with 2 trailers. We have a Pinot Haas. It's kind of a tandem bike. So Ella drives.
Our older daughter
drove a lot of on the front. So it's kind of special bike. But one day she had a very big wish driving by herself. So we had to find a way to bring her bike here. It was kind of difficult. Lorena managed everything on that. But now she's driving by herself. And every child has many options. For example, our Lila, the smaller one, can also go on the front on a Pinot Haas and on a trailer or some So it's good
variety. And you can tell about the solar panel.
I mean, we had bicycle support of a friend, and I mean, without him, we had a lot of troubles right now. But he helped us by thinking the process. What do we really need for the trailers? They needed bigger
tires,
for example. We have a battery and a solar panel that we use as a for energy, but also as a table, so we can cook on that. And we can, I mean, that's one of the great things. You don't need to put everything on the bottom. You have always a table. It feels very good. It's like you have always your kitchen beside. Yes, and what else? Set up.
Yeah, and we plan to have like 2 trailers, so each kid has one trailer, kind of as their own room, you know, where they have their own like safety space where they can put their things. And that was a really good decision at the beginning, because that's what they needed, you know, their safe space.
Yes.
It changes a bit at the moment. They don't need it that as much anymore. So we're thinking about, you know, how we're going to change things. But
it helps a lot.
We are quite heavy. We're very heavy.
and so I love this. I can only imagine that you have given your children such a completely different view of the world as a whole. And without a destination in mind, does the older one get any say in where you go or how far you go in a day?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all take into account all of our needs and wishes and opinions. Mm-hmm. So we do talk a lot about that. And for us, it's not about making kilometers a day. You know, certain amount of kilometers. It's much more about enjoying our ride. And we sometimes make only 20 kilometers a day because we don't feel like cycling, and or the children just don't want to do to sit on the in the trailer, or they don't want to bike on their own. And sometimes more. So we do really see what everyone need or try to see what everyone needs. And yeah, they definitely get a say in that. That's really important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by bikeflights.com, the leading bicycle shipping service and bike box supplier for cyclists. You'll enjoy low costs, excellent service, and on-time delivery with every shipment. And you get preferred handling for your high-value bikes, wheels, and gear. As a brand built around a love for the outdoors, they are committed to reducing environmental impact, and every Bike Flights shipment is carbon neutral. Join the nearly 1 million cyclists who have used Bike Flights to ship their bikes, wheels, and gear with confidence since 2009, and see how easy it is to book, manage, and track all of your shipments. Visit bikeflights.com/warm showers today for more information and to book your shipment. Now back to the show. So I'm curious, have you thought long term what this might look like?
No,
we're not good in
long term thinking
long term. Yes.
No, we're really trying. That's one of the main issues for us as well, and that's one of the main issues that we want to teach our children, to trust in life. You know, to trust in life, that every time, like often in the even in the during the day we don't need we don't know where to where we're going to sleep at the end of the day, but we try to really trust in life, and there's always been an opportunity coming up. I mean, sometimes like strangers coming up and saying, hey, do you need a place to sleep? You know, there's always something coming up. Mm-hmm. And that's also what we want to do with our trip, you know, just trusting in the life that things will come up as they should. And that's what we want to do with this trip, you know, so we don't really do long-term planning and just see where things lead us.
I think that that's such a beautiful experience to teach the children. It's not just resiliency. It's trusting that you can figure it out. And it's also really leaving the to-do list, the goals, like this driven society that we all, you know, live in. And of course, with me at Warm Showers, you know, my Warm Showers list is quite long today. And I think about how transforming that is for both of you too, as adults, as parents, right? And as a couple, you know, how has it been for the two of you as a couple within your marriage to be able to navigate this big change, especially while you have children with you? Maybe we'll start with Gregor. Let's hear from you one at a time on this.
I mean, we have also always been a good team, let's say it like that. And I mean, when you're on a trip like this, you need to be a good team. So it's quite, I mean, we work like silently. Everyone does something, and it's kind of relaxing. I know when Lorena does the dishes, I see, okay, she's doing the dishes, so I do something else, and everyone takes care of each other. But it's a kind of we talk, but we not really communicate. We talk like in a silent way, and I think
we're more connected now again.
Yes, definitely.
You know, we've been before, but you know, we were so busy with life and so on, and now we're really a team, and that really connects us.
Yeah, before we started, everyone had his own job, and we had a little bit family time, but now it's
we're in this together.
Yeah, it's our project, like it's our adventure. Yeah.
Yeah, really beautiful. I can feel it in the two of you. And for people that can see your faces, they can see that you're very connected. You know, one thing that we don't often touch on often in this community or even on this podcast, which I get asked quite a bit, is like, how do you make it work in terms of resources, right? You definitely still need to be able to buy food. You need supplies for the children. You know, how are you, and not to go into the personal side of it, we're not talking the personal side, but are you able to earn money while you're traveling, or were you able to save enough before you left?
Well, both. We did have a little bit of savings that we're of course using, and also, well, up until now Gregor has still been employed a little bit, and because we're both trainers for nonviolent communication, which we're also trying to do as a little project on the side, so we've done like some online work while we've been traveling so far.
Yeah, and that's beautiful. And that is quite commonly what we see, but it's like the piece of how to financially get yourself through it is something that people don't like to talk about, but we know that it's like at the top of their list of questions.
Yeah, definitely.
Because a lot of people, it feels like that's the one thing that stops them from doing a long tour is that, how am I going to be sustainable? And there's a thousand different combinations of ways to do it. So I really appreciate you letting me ask that question, because I know it can feel personal for some people, but I think it's important.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's also quite surprising for us, because I mean, being on a bike is so much less expensive than other ways of traveling, because you do it all by yourself, and the only expenses we have is food and some other small stuff, like for the kids and for a bike and, you know, that stuff. But we try to be we try not to spend so much time on so much money on accommodation, and so it's not that much actually that you need for bike traveling, which is a great aspect, I think.
Yeah, thank you. And so for accommodation-wise, have you met some Warm Showers guests along the way, I'm assuming?
Yes, of course. I mean, those have been one of the greatest memories as well that we've made. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, the
I hope someone comes through my area with two kids. That hasn't happened yet. I've only had singles or doubles, but I can only imagine how excited someone must be to host you, to have both of you who are so delightful, and then have, you know, your children too. How wonderful all that must be.
Yeah, I mean, we've been so we're really so overwhelmed by this community and by the hospitality and generosity of the people that we met through warm showers. I mean, sometimes we were like stuck somewhere because we took the wrong road and we wanted to come to a host, and we wrote him, we said, well, we don't know where we are, we can't manage to get off the hill, and he came and got all our stuff and then had a warm dinner for us already. And you know, it's been really overwhelming, and we just love warm showers, really. Yeah,
I love it.
Even when they can't host us, for example, once they did just write us or wrote us. Did everything go great? Do you need help? So they try to help you on the way, even when they don't can host you for a reason.
Yeah, and that really feels so great, because it really has some sort of community feeling along the way, because it feels like you have people out there who will help you when you've got troubles.
You're connected to them some way.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that's kind of filling your bucket of community that you both started with, right? That you're able to connect and live sustainably. That's, I'm sure, a piece of it.
Yes, definitely.
That's what we miss here in Sardinia, for sure.
The community
feeling. The community feeling, yes.
Yeah. So I know you don't plan too far, but do you set a direction to go? Like, do you have your eye on, ooh, that would be a nice place to visit next? That's part one of my question. Part two of my question is, where's your favorite place that you visited so far?
Okay, I'll answer the first one. It's easy. Well, right now we're thinking about going to Spain and going more south, because, I mean, we love Sardinia. It's really beautiful landscape and beautiful nature and so on, but it just doesn't feel like we're not connecting with it as we've been with Italy and all the other countries so far, because here we feel a little bit more like tourists, because there are so many German tourists here, and now in winter or autumn so many things are closed, so we can't, what we really love is connecting with locals, you know, and that's something that we can't do so much here, because, and yeah, that's why we plan on going to thinking about going to Spain next, taking a ferry to Barcelona and then direction south. That's the only plan.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. Yeah. All right. And Gregor, what about your most favorite place that you visited so far?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just yesterday, I would say, because we had a hard uphill, about 1,000 meters. We went up and we had a bad wind, and then we drove a little bit down, and we found this totally magical place. Nobody was there. It was like you could with a
picnic area,
but it's town
fence
with a fence around. And you could do there, we did a fire, and we were totally alone, and it's hard to describe in words. I mean, it was pure nature. It was I think one of the night was so silent, we didn't hear any dogs barking or other noises. It was
pure nature.
Very peaceful. It was magical. And I mean, doing fire with kids, they loved it, and they were everywhere, little fireplaces. So yeah, waking up in that spot was really magical.
Yeah, it's like you found a hidden gem that you can only find when you're on the road, and you come across it, not planned.
Yeah, exactly.
You just find this little slice of beauty.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Well, for anybody that's listening, if you are in Barcelona or in Spain, you should look out for Lorena and Gregor and their littles that are riding through. I'm sure every host that's listening to the show is going to be hoping for you to message them and find a place to visit and build community along your way.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes, we love to share everything experience and our project. And
amazing. Thank you both so much for your time. I'm really excited for what lays ahead in this unknown journey. And I hope that you will keep in touch with us at Warm Showers, both on our social media and here on the podcast. And we'll continue to update listeners because we get invested in your journey. When we get to hear it, we get to see you, we get to feel all of your joy. We feel invested in your journey as an organization. So make sure that you keep us posted.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. And for everyone that's listening, if you want to connect with Lorena and Gregor, we're going to put their contact information in the show notes so you can follow along and connect and look for a hosting request from this beautiful family. Lorena and Gregor, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. And we hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Wherever you are listening, please leave us a rating and a review as it helps us reach more cyclists and hosts around the world. Visit us at warmshowers.org to become a part of our community or on Instagram at warmshowers_org. If you would like to be a guest on the show or submit a question, please make sure to email us at podcast@warmshowers.org.